5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Well, hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain, welcome home to where you want to be. Whether you start the day with us or wrap up the day with us, you found the Wendy Bell radio program, Common Sense Conservative Values, and we're delighted to be with you. Thanks so much for being here. I hope you can spend a lot of time if you can't and you have to bounce a little bit early. Remember the Wendy Bell radio podcast. It's super easy to find. Just plug our title in and boom, it'll pop up. Download us onto your phone and you can take the show with you wherever you go. We got Joe Biden. And the title of today's program is Crooked Copycat Joe. There is nothing authentic about this guy, and he has proven it. Lots of other stories to get to, my friends, but I'm going to begin with an email that I received that is very special that I want to share with you, and we will right after this. Welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. For every bad thing in the news we see today, there is an opposite, though equally important, good story. And I think if we can start chipping away at the news, we'll find that that actually exists. The good stuff doesn't get the play. It doesn't make the splashy headlines, but it's there. And we have plenty of signs of hope today in what seems like a very bleak and suffocating world right now. But it is that hope that I see in so many people, and particularly the hope today is going to be dished up by some children. And I think that's meaningful. Before I get to anything, though, I want to read this to you, because as we're all struggling with whatever we have going on in our lives, and I know you do have something going on in your life, something that keeps you up at night, or it's causing you to drink maybe a little too much, or it just has you feeling down and you don't know how to shake it. Everywhere I go, everyone who I speak with has something or many things. You are not alone. And when I feel maybe frustrated or sorry for myself or a circumstance that's not going my way, I think about, very specifically, the January 6th defendants. And I can't fathom what it's like to live the punitive side of an unjust country. I can't fathom what it's like to relive the courtroom lies and the hatred and the vitriol and just the meanness. Just mean. Some people can be really mean. I got this email. Brock forwarded it to me this morning. And on the subject line, it says, "Please read. Just got out of prison with Stuart Rhodes." Of course, I'm going to pay attention. The gentleman who's writing to me is named Christian. And he writes, "I just want to thank you for being a voice of reason in all this chaos. I just did 67 months for a firearm that was found in a shed on my property. And I was at FCI Cumberland, Maryland with Stuart Rhodes. You have a huge following in the federal system, and you touch so many people with the truth you deliver raw. You're a constant reminder that there is still hope in this world, and it's something to cling to. You just got me through a rough 5 years, and I can't thank you enough. I'm free as of today, and contacting you was a priority. Keep fighting the good fight. And if you ever want someone to speak about the truth behind the federal system and the way they're treating us during COVID, please contact me. Thank you. And then his name and his number. That is probably the finest thing I could ever ask to start my day with. Because there are people who our government has thrown away, and they think they're alone and left behind, and you are not. So if you're in that prison, or any, we have not forgotten. The sign of hope I was talking about, though, comes in two different places. Have you guys been following this craziness out of Columbia University? So right now it looks like these pro-Palestinian protesters, students, malignant ne'er-do-well students, entitled bubble-wrapped participation trophy, you're so special, kids, right? Walking like they are the villagers in Shrek, on the way with torches, legit fire torches, marching through the streets to get to the president of the university's home. To do what? God knows. How it ends, how it did, I don't know either. These people are behaving like Hitler youth, brainwashed, propagandized, the culmination of that disgusting cycle of indoctrination. And they are full now, acolytes of the suck. And I don't know how many will be saved. But on the flip side, two stories that are so meaningful. One takes us to West Virginia, where five middle school girls, we're talking 13 and 14 years old, refused to throw shot put against a tranny boy named Becky Pepper Jackson. This is, of course, just 2 days after the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals blocked a West Virginia law, mind you, that says something very simple. You must compete in the category that matches your sex. These 13 and 14-year-old girls walked into the circle where they're supposed to throw and walked out. They got out of the pool. In Utah, a crazy story of young students, again, middle schoolers, 70 of them we're hearing, walking out of Mount Nebo Middle School to protest the school for allowing furries to terrorize other students. Where are the adults? Where are the coaches? Where are the dads? Look, I'm a fighter. But what the world needs right now are men. Men! We need the dads. We need the men in the community. We need the people who are watching this, who are the protectors of our society, to tap into that raw, baked-in instinct to rise up, to react, and to be men. And isn't it so curious that this all comes on the heels of such a concerted effort to emasculate men, to make today's man seem wussy and wimpy and effeminate, where today's man can pretend, if he puts on lipstick, a push-up bra, and a dress, to be a woman, an ugly one at that, and then demand female treatment. Where are the men fighting back? Because a hell of a lot of our patriots have been thrown into prison. These people who took oaths to protect this country from enemies here and abroad. They want our protectors stripped from us. They want dads carved out of the nuclear family. They want girls to think that it's okay if you get pregnant, to just erase it as though it didn't happen. Dads are needed. Men are needed more than ever before, I'm afraid, my friends. Now, I could read you some of the details here. These kids who are allowed to dress up in costumes and pretend that they are animals. What we have, friends, is nobody speaking up about rampant mental illness and also little kids doing anything to get out of a day of school. We need teachers. We need mayors. We need parents. We need neighbors. We need fighters, not bystanders. Not bystanders who watch this happen, my friends. Well, this is a very interesting caveat and pivot because in the hot seat after this break is Katie Couric. Katie Couric, who has kind of evaporated from public consciousness for many, many years, has decided to bubble back into the fray by taking on MAGA Republicans. You want to hear what elite leftist media suck sounds like? I got it for you. You decide next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. All right, this is crazy. Why is it the children acting as the adults in the room? Where are the adults? This is the story out of Utah. As a middle school staged a walkout, students there, to protest their peers who identified as furries. Furries! You know, if the parent in the situation can't tell the kid, sit down, Johnny, there's got to be somebody else. Where's the adult? Apparently not the principal, not the administration, not the school board. They let these kids come to school dressed as something they're not. And then some of the kids are getting scratched and bitten by their classmates. What? What in the Sam Hill is going on? Of course, this is what they say a furry is, anyone with a strong interest in anthropomorphic animals. Okay, we just call them weird, all right? You're weird. I don't care. You do you, but you want to invade? You want to invade a school? You want to interrupt students' ability to learn? Where are the adults? That was the thing that fascinated me about the West Virginia kids. Where's the coach? Where are the parents? Where are the adults? How about this? Speaking of an adult, she looks terrible, by the way. I used to think for a hot second, Katie Couric was somebody who was interesting. She was young. She was bright. She was vibrant. She was funny. And then, I don't know. And then things went sour. So she's on with Bill Maher on his podcast. And she said some really dumb things. And I need you to hear this because this is emblematic of how the left sees you. If you're a conservative, if you believe in our values, which are values that are good for everybody. Katie Couric slammed as out of touch for claiming Trump's MAGA is driven by some kind of anti-intellectualism. They think that you're stupid. The reality is, we got a lot of projection going on here, my friends. Got a lot of people on the left who hate anybody who's happy, anybody who's smiling, anybody who's moved by the flag, anybody who starts to tear when they hear our national anthem, anyone who drives by a cemetery and sees the rows of American flags in the earth next to the headstones and has their breath taken away. This is what she said. Katie Couric, this is New York Post. Katie Couric is facing backlash online for claiming the Make America Great Again political movement is driven by anti-intellectualism. Couric made the comments while discussing Donald Trump and MAGA, which was born during the former president's 2016 campaign. I dare submit it started well before that. On the latest episode of Bill Maher's Club Random podcast. Now, why do I find this relevant? Because Katie Couric is relevant? No. Because it's a snapshot inside the elite, white, college-educated, liberal woman's psychosis. It seems harsh. It's true. This is what she said. The socioeconomic disparities are a lot, and class resentment. I don't know if this is what she said or if they transcribed it wrong. The socioeconomic disparities and the class resentment is a lot like anti-intellectualism and elitism. It's what's driving many of these anti-establishment people, which are Trump voters. So I think that's a huge problem that we have to address. That makes no sense to me, other than what she is saying, is that there is a system in this country that's unfair. And you and I are too stupid to see it. We are too easily conned by a snake oil salesman like Donald Trump, and we have been duped. And we are a danger to society. She says, I mean, globalization and the transition from an industrial to a technological society. I don't know if you've ever been jealous of someone or resentful. It's such a corroding and bitter, almost bitter feeling, she said. Now, I don't know if she's off her meds or what. But the response to Katie Couric after the fact was not good. And it was people saying, so out of touch. Calm conservatives responding. You have no idea what you're talking about. Another elitist, out of touch leftist spewing vitriol online. These are the voices, these are the representatives who have been in our society for a long, long time. And they are losing their minds that you are not, that you are calm, that you might feel like you're drowning, but you're focused, you're purposeful, and you have a plan. Whatever it is, you know what's coming up in November, how important it is. People like this, people who think that they are relevant, who think that they know you, don't understand what we're fighting for. We're fighting for 13 and 14-year-old West Virginia shot putters to not have a sport that they want to compete in ruined by a kid who wants us to believe his farce, whose parents allow it to happen, by a school district that doesn't want to get involved, by a Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals who believes it is above West Virginia law and overrules common sense. So that we're in a situation where 70 students, teenagers in Utah, have had enough and walk out of school and leave because the adults there who should be protecting them have refused to do so. When we come back, I want to talk about this Joe Biden trying to tap. Actually, excuse me. I want to talk about these dismissed jurors. We've got two of them. Who were the people who made it almost onto the panel for Trump? Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, the overarching question I think I have, and again, I'm going to tap back into our friends who are incarcerated because of the January 6th on Select Committee. Because they had a narrative they needed to push out. They needed people to get caught in the fray. They needed to catch some fish in the net. And they did. And now they're sizzling them. I wonder if any of us can get a fair trial in the United States. Do you remember what a fuss they made about HIPAA, the Health Privacy Act? And I think it kind of came out of celebrities being in the hospital and hospital staffers finding out who they were and leaking details to media or to tabloids or to what have you. And it really forced this issue where you ought to have some semblance of privacy, particularly in a vulnerable, needy medical fashion. And so HIPAA passed. And so now we have to go through all of these crazy hoops under the guise of protecting everybody's information, their identity, their medical records, etc. Do you believe that your federal government doesn't have access to every single damn thing about you? And if you have been in any capacity vocal on social media about your conservative values, about your viewpoints, about Donald Trump, and you've maybe been banned or you've been put in timeout or Facebook jail or whatever it is on the other platforms, you think that this government is not paying attention to that, that they don't have a database with all sorts of information about all of us? Do you believe that if something weird happened to you and you found yourself in a lawsuit, on trial, accused of something or otherwise, you think that you would get a fair trial? I don't. Because Donald Trump isn't gonna. None of these is going to be even remotely fair because the system itself is totally corrupted. I can't fathom being a judge, going through law school, and then working as a clerk for so-and-so judge, and then working your way up through the clerk process to be your own judge. And maybe you're a rinky-dinky judge in some weird district, and maybe you ascend to a bigger job. Isn't baked into that a commitment to truth? To the history of this great country, to the Constitution, to the values that we should all be unwaveringly for? And yet it seems no matter where you look, there are people who have been purchased, who are in our courtrooms. We have juries who are clearly tampered with. We had one guy, apparently, who was dismissed yesterday in Donald Trump's hush money trial, which is on its face totally ridiculous, who apparently is connected to Hakeem Jeffries. Maybe his or her mom or dad works with... What? And you managed to get onto a 100-person jury pool, 96 people, and they weren't able to identify that? What? There is no way, because Donald Trump is not intended to have a fair trial. The January 6th defendants, they were never intended to have a fair trial. They were intended to be dragged through the mud with trumped up charges, ridiculous statute violations, and other preposterous things to drag them down, bankrupt them, ruin their lives, create the illusion of insurrection, and then once they were used, right, and weren't needed anymore, just toss them aside as they rot in prison. So we were kind of interested when some of these jurors who were in the jury pool, who had been dismissed, came out of the courtroom in Manhattan, and MSNBC, other outfits, snagged these people who are miserable leftists. This one woman you're going to hear. Let me describe her. She is a plain Jane white woman with stringy straight hair who looks like she is, you know, one veggie burrito away from snapping, who hates Donald Trump, hates him, doesn't know anything about him, only what she's been told. But she really doesn't like him. She really doesn't like him, well, because of what he did during COVID. What the hell did he do? Listen to Dr. Fauci? Who was screwing and scamming all of us the whole time? Was it that part? And then she doesn't like Donald Trump's views on reproductive freedom. You mean abortion? Because you want to be able to abort a baby up to the point of birth? Because that makes freaking sense to you, you wacko? And then she really didn't like his views on China. Oh, you mean the China where the virus was incubated, funded, made worse, and then released? That China? You mean the China that infiltrates every single educational system and steals the intellectual property of our smartest people? That China? Really? Who we're still working with on viruses and vaccines? Because that makes sense. That China? Yeah. That is the woman who almost got seated in this trial. Really? I want you to hear this. This is the, I'm gonna start with this first woman. This is fascinating. She is a foreigner. I do not know from where. She became a citizen last summer. This is her first presidential election that she's going to be able to vote in. This is the first time she has ever been called to serve in a jury. She understands the magnitude of the court system. Though she does not follow Trump, she says, and all of the stuff around him, because she's busy. She understands the gravity of what is going on. I want you to listen as this MSNBC reporter asks her about her views of President Trump. What did he look like? This is her takeaway. Go.
You just became a citizen of the United States. So that means you've never voted in a presidential election.
Exactly.
You're called to be a juror, and this is the jury that you are called to.
Yes.
What was that? That is unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
I know.
What was your impression of Donald Trump when you saw him?
You know, he looked less orange.
Oh, boy.
Definitely, like more yellows, like yellow. Nothing else than that. He looks, he doesn't look angry, or I think he looks bored. Like he wants this to finish and go do his stuff. That's how I,
Did you have any discussions with other jurors when you left the room about kind of how huge this case was,
yes,
how historic it was going to be?
Yeah, everybody.
What
yeah,
were they saying? What were you guys talking about?
About this. It's a historical case, and, you know, this is going to define so many things. But at the same time, our job as a juror, right, is to be impartial, like to be unbiased. So it was weird, like the whole atmosphere, like, you know, such an important case.
This is so remarkable to watch him suck the air out of everything. Donald Trump walks into a room, the oxygen evaporates. He walks into a courtroom, people are speechless. Even out on the street, they obsess over this. Of course, losing the ridiculosity of the charges, completely enraptured by this man. He owns everybody who comes even close into contact. Follow-up question from the reporter. Do you think that a jury can be fair? Is it possible to find people to be impartial after we've drilled for 8 years negative garbage every single waking hour into their heads? Can there be an impartial jury? Listen.
Do you feel like the people that you were speaking with in that jury room that you sat with all day on Tuesday, that they can put together a fair and impartial jury because of that sense of duty? Do you think that's possible?
I'm not sure about that.
Wow.
Really, why?
You know, everybody has biases and, you know, stereotypes in their mind. So you have to be a really, you know, deep and, you know, fair person. Which is very hard to do, right?
Yeah.
In order to serve as a jury. I hope they do. I mean, this is justice, right? I hope they do, yeah.
This is justice, right? Do you think they can be fair? I don't think so. And the reporter, why? Oh, I don't know. Look in the mirror, sister. How about this woman? This is the one with the stringy hair who looks like she could be any meme on your social media feed later today. She's going to be asked. So you were dismissed for admitting that you could not be impartial. Exactly why was that? Oh, boy.
Can you share your opinion of the former president and why you felt that you could be unbiased?
I'm not a fan. During COVID-19, I lived with someone who was immunocompromised, and I think his handling of COVID-19 was abysmal. I have a sister who's adopted from China, and the comments he made about China when he was running for president made her very anxious, and
oh boy,
therefore made me angry.
Feelings.
Policies he has supported that regard women and reproductive health that I do not agree with. And I think all of that needs to be addressed.
All of that needs to be addressed. None of that has anything to do with what he's charged with. You, snowflake. I think his handling of COVID was abysmal. Do you think if I sat down with her and I showed her the evidence of Fauci manipulating emails and data and browbeating people and swiftly trying to take down the Great Barrington Declaration, which said, you know what? Rather than being really radical with our approach to COVID, let's be realistic. Let's take care of those who are sick, immune compromised, who are old. Let's everybody live our lives as cleanly, as respectfully as we can. How would they feel? How would she feel if she knew Fauci used her taxpayer money to make a virus with the Communist Chinese Party? Do you think maybe then that young lady who's triggered and completely emotion-based would realize that she is the glowing product of indoctrination? Bing, 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 the poster child. Now, how on earth, if Donald Trump can't get a jury of his peers, how on earth are you ever going to be treated fairly in a court of law? There are a couple thousand January Sixers. None of them got off. Why do you think that is? When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, my friends, it was so scripted, it was staged. Did you guys see Joe Biden's trip to the Wawa in Philly, copying Donald Trump? What a shame. What a sham. We got it for you next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Not a big copier. I don't like copying people. It feels so unoriginal, doesn't it? And they say, what is it, flattery, or what? Imitation is the something form of
most
flattery.
Most sincere form of flattery.
You know, I'm going to disagree with that. I think imitation, copycatting, is a sign of weakness, of a lack of originality. We all do it at various parts of our life, particularly when we're young. We see things that, obviously, because we're insecure and going through this and that, don't know who we are yet. You're inclined to, I don't know, pay attention to what others are doing just to kind of fit in, I guess, until you figure out who you are. Everybody goes through it. And then finally you reach an age where you just don't care anymore what people think. And you're like, whatever, you can suck it. That's what you get. Okay. Joe Biden should be pretty comfortable with who he is as a lying rat fink, you know, treasonous dirtbag. Sorry. And not be copying Donald Trump. But this guy he hates so much, the guy he goes on his bananas, demented tirades over, he copies. He copies everything. So I want to read this to you. I mean, Donald Trump, which is so legendary, he's shackled essentially and chained to Manhattan for this case because the judge won't let him leave. You've got to be here present every single day. And that's punitive. It's to keep him from campaigning. Clearly, we all know what it is. It's campaign. It's election interference. So Trump makes the most of it. He goes to various places to see different kinds of people and just be like, hey, I see you. I understand. I'm here. Thank you. So Joe Biden tries to do the same thing. He's totally irrelevant. Nobody gives a fat rip about him. And the whole 81 million narrative is so preposterous. And we knew it was preposterous years ago. They can't stop pretending, lying, staging, choreographing, presenting to you High School Musical 17.0 is what we're on. So here's the article, pjmedia.com, and I've got some video from this. If you're watching, great. I'm going to describe it. It's literally Joe Biden standing next to the mayor of Philadelphia, who's some woman. And he's at a Wawa. He's at a Philadelphia Wawa convenience store. This one, thankfully, not overrun by looters, as others have, which have made Wawa's close in Philadelphia and other cities. But this whole thing is staged. It's choreographed. There are people who come in. They shut the thing down. They have a guy who comes in. He's like the floor director, right? He's like the Gelman of the show. He's like, all right, here's what it's going to do. What's it going to do, everybody? You're going to stand over here, and you're going to stand over here. And he's going to come in, and he's going to ask for an Italian hoagie and a chocolate milkshake, okay? And you're going to do this. And then here's how much, and he's going to give you a tip. And this is how much, they worked it all out, right? And we're watching the video of it. Nobody's excited to see him. Nobody's like, hey, it's Joe Biden. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to see you. I've got your sticker on my car. I wear your hat. I think you're fantastic. Because that never happens. Nobody's excited to see him. In fact, there's video of his motorcade driving through a street in Philadelphia. Obviously, whenever the president comes, whatever president it is, there's all the security. They shut everything down. I get it. But the residents are there. Do you know how many people were out on the Philadelphia street waiting for Joe Biden's motorcade to make it to the Wawa? There were like 50 people, and they held up Trump signs. And sounds of FJB and Let's Go Brandon screaming out. And the funny thing is, this is all triggered by one very natural, organic moment that happened earlier this week at the Chick-fil-A in Atlanta. When Trump walked in, bought a bunch of chicken sandwiches and a bunch of milkshakes. Thanks, everybody. It's good to see you. And the response he got from many people, black people there, absolutely destroyed the Democrats. Because young and very intelligent teacher Michaela Montgomery jumped into President Trump's arms. She was delighted to see him. And now Joe Biden is trying to copy. He's trying to put in a bottle the secret sauce that you either have or you don't. Children know, like animals know. They have a vibe. They have a sense. There's a barometer. There's a buzz that for some reason, animals and children pick up on. Which is why when Joe Biden is in a ceremony with children and he leans into them, kids immediately retract. They try to pull away. Michaela Montgomery jumped into Donald Trump's arms, delighted, and he was delighted too. That's simple. That's unattainable when you're a fraud. You can go to a Sheetz in Philadelphia and walk into the back. You can then pretend how you know. He couldn't close, Joe Biden couldn't close a pizza box at this Wawa. It was all scripted for him, and he couldn't close a box. And then he couldn't order a milkshake. There comes that pivotal moment when people watch what's going on, what's being presented, and they expect it to be High School Musical. We are there. They can try. They can try to produce it. They can try to promote it. They can sugarcoat it. They can shellac it. They can inject it. They can pretend. But you know. Everybody knows. They're not fooling anybody anymore. And the polls that suggest that Trump and Biden are neck and neck and that this thing is a nail biter and it's going to be to the finish. Oh, my God. Photo finish. Expect it. Baloney. Baloney. Some people got the magic, friends. Most people don't. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, let's do this. Hour number two, we're going to talk about this home state swing through as Joe Biden kind of drifts off into Never Never Land. Not a good look, Mr. President. That's next.